Amen. Let's pray for the word. You can never have too much prayer. I believe it's great to always come before the Lord and ask him to come and have his way. So Heavenly Father, we are honored and so thankful that you have drawn so near to us tonight. And as we come before you with the word, God, we know that it is your word. And Lord, your promise and your declaration is that your word would not return void. And Lord, in this place tonight, we know that you want to speak and you want to soften us and change us. And so we just lay our hearts before you afresh, our ears before you, and we ask that you would come and have your way, that your voice would be heard, and that we would just lean into your word and receive it and be changed by it. In your mighty name, we give you all of the glory and thanks. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Our title tonight is Peace in War. I was stirred by this title recently from an email that my husband sent to me. He often sends me emails just giving me prayers and letting me know what he's praying for our family and for the church and what the Lord wants to do. And he recently sent me one that when I read it, the Holy Spirit immediately quickened my heart and my spirit. And in his prayer, he said this: let your mind be at peace and your spirit at war. And I began to pray and to meditate on both of these aspects, peace and war, both working together at the same time. And I felt the Holy Spirit wanted to encourage us tonight, to strengthen our faith, to impart courage to all of us. There is an aspect of supernatural peace in the midst of this spiritual war that we are all called to in the cause of Jesus Christ. What is the spiritual war that we find ourselves in? If I were to ask you tonight, if we had an opportunity for you to respond to this, if I were to ask the question, what are some of the deepest prayers that you find yourself praying? What are the deepest stirrings that rise up out of your soul, that you call out to the Lord for, that you are truly desperate for? What would your response be to this question? Perhaps some of you would say that you are praying and you are desperate for the Lord to bring salvation to a loved one. We all have those people in our lives. Perhaps you are desperate for a spiritual awakening to be imparted to a certain person or situation. Perhaps you sense an urgency for your children, for the church of God to rise up in holiness, a brand new commitments and loyalty to stand upon the truth of the Word of God. Perhaps your soul is grieved for the so many souls who seem to be confused these days, and even for those who seem to be apathetic. Whatever the need is tonight, whatever the deepest cry, whatever the prayer is tonight, we all have them. We all have desperate yearnings unto the Lord. You might be here and you might require a miracle in your life. There might be financial provision that you don't know where the next paycheck is coming from. Your bank account looks pretty empty right now. It's in the negative. And you have no idea where the finances are going to come from. That's real. You might be here tonight and you might need a physical healing, a miracle upon your life. Whatever miracle you need, whatever wisdom, provision, or response you are searching for from the Lord, the truth for all of us tonight is that we are in a spiritual war. And in this war, there are forces that are working against your spirit, that are working against your prayers. Fear is fighting to control your spirits, to reign over our deepest needs and prayers. Discouragement, confusion, unfaithfulness, ungodly passions are all fighting to control your spirit. And yet the cause of Christ would call us to an unwavering faith, would call us to a supernatural courage and a peace in the midst of our spiritual war. That no matter what the need is, no matter what the request, what your desire is, that you would be able to fight from a position of peace instead of fear. Our main passage tonight, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 12. This passage speaks of the war that we must fight for in our spirits. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Verses 11 and 12, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, fight the good fight of faith. There is a war for our godly living to decrease, for your faith to decrease, and for your fear and your unrighteousness to increase. There needs to be a Holy Spirit guard upon our hearts and minds, that our faith in the Lord would remain strong and immovable. There needs to be a guard upon us in the midst of this spiritual battle. And we need to understand that Satan is after our peace. He is after our trust and our faith in God's plan. And if he can attack our faith in God's plan in his ways, then he has our peace. Number one tonight is let your spirit be at war. Each one of our spirits should be warring for the cause of Christ. Can you say amen? What is the cause that we are called to fight for? Our highest priority, we know this is not new information, but our highest priority, our entire focus must be to follow Christ, to take up our cross and deny ourselves daily, to imitate and to serve Christ, to be passionate for what he is passionate for. There are many scriptures that give us insight into the cause of Christ, that give us insight into the heart of God and his purpose. The cause of Christ is for God's kingdom to be established within us and to be advanced through us. Luke 17, 21, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 4, 43, Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The cause tonight for our lives is Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The cause of Christ is Luke 19, 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The cause of Christ is for the glory of the Lord to cover every home, every member in your households, every family, every church, city, and nation. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 60, verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Church, the cause of Christ is found in Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You see, the cause of Christ is for us to war for his kingdom violently, not in a small measure, not sometimes, but at all times, with a passion that is outside of your own ability. The cause of Christ is that with every breath that is within us, that we would be changed, that we would be moved by the Holy Spirit, that we would rise up and war in our spirit for the glory of God. Let us get desperate and violent for the salvation of the Lord to cover our homes. Let us not shrink back, but let us begin to get even more serious, and as we even heard this morning, to be on your knees even more, to go a little bit further, to pray a little bit more into intensely. Let us not be afraid of that. But I pray tonight that we can hear the urgency and the voice of the Holy Spirit to rise up in the cause of Christ for his righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The war, if this is the cause, what is the war that wages against this cause? The war is for your faith. The war is for your faith. It's for you to be weak and apathetic in your prayers. The war is for your faith in the healing power of Jesus Christ, in his miraculous provision. The war is for your spiritual fervor for God's kingdom to be your sole priority. And so we are called to recognize the spiritual war that rages against our spirit, against our steadfast trust and faith in Jesus Christ who lives within us. We are called to fight the good fight of faith. War in your spirit, church. War for your faith. War for your fervency, for your family, for your city. Let us never be lacking in spiritual fervor and zeal. Let us war and fight for all of these areas through our worship, through our intense intercessions, prophesying and living the word of God. There is no time to sit back and to relax in the Spirit. There's no time to relax in the Spirit. And you know, I really believe that the Holy Spirit would want to encourage us specifically on this point, just really quickly tonight, that he would want to encourage our faith and our resolve, and that he would want to encourage us to not say, tomorrow I will fight. Tomorrow I will get on my knees and pray. Tomorrow I will sharpen my weapons of warfare. Tomorrow I will seek the Lord. Tomorrow I will encourage my family to serve the Lord. There will always be reasons to not serve the Lord. There will always be reasons to not war in our spirit. There will always be other things to say yes to. There will always be other things happening than coming to church, than coming to the prayer meetings, than getting involved. There will always be reasons to say no and to not do this. There will always be other temptations and pulls upon our spirit to pursue other passions. But can we hear the Holy Spirit tonight? Can we hear the urgency of Jesus in Matthew 11:12? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and only the violent prayers, only the violent faith, only the violent commitments will obtain the kingdom of God. There is a spiritual war for the passion of God's people, for the kingdom of God to be weak and ineffective. And I don't know about you, but I am not going to stand by and watch that happen in this house and in this city. We need to be those who are willing to rise up in our spirit and to war for this, to begin to be intentional, to spend the time, to change the priority, whatever we need to do. Oh, how honored we are to be called into the cause of Jesus Christ. There is no higher honor. Acts 14, verses 21 to 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Can you say that tonight in your spirit? That we must, through many warring prayers, we must, with the holy violence, we must, even in the midst of the trials and tribulations, enter the kingdom of God, see the kingdom of God advance and his glory cover over us. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 to 5, no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation. For this reason, when I can no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. We are appointed, church. We are appointed to defeat the tempter and to be at war in our spirit to advance the kingdom of God with a holy violence. Can you say amen? Number two, let your mind be at peace. In this spiritual battle that we fight daily, we are admonished to be aware of the position from which we are fighting from. Do we war from a position of worry or from a position of peace? Do we war from a position of fear or from a position of faith? Do we pray and fight because we are fearful? Or do we pray and war surrendered to God's perfect plan and purpose? Fight the good fight of faith. And our faith will determine our peace. If we are fearful in our spiritual battle, we will be full of worry and doubt. This battle requires us to be strong and courageous. When we are strong and courageous and we pray with surrendered faith, we will have peace. Many times God called his people to fight with faith and courage, to be at peace, knowing that he was fighting with them and for them. Joshua chapter 1 is the familiar passage to us of when God gave Joshua instructions, specific guidelines of how to enter the promised land, of how to conquer the land that he had already prepared for his people. And as he is giving Joshua these instructions, he speaks to one of the greatest enemies that he knew would be easy for Joshua to face. He speaks to an enemy because he knows that it was possible for the people of God to not enter into the promised land, to not conquer those enemies. When the Lord gives us promises and he gives us assurances, there still is a responsibility on our part to fight and to move forward as he has called us to. But the Lord understood one of the greatest enemies that was going to face Joshua, and so he spoke to the enemy, and that was the enemy of fear. Four times in just this first chapter, in Joshua chapter 1, God says to Joshua, "Do not be afraid." He repeats himself over and over. Four times he calls Joshua to be strong and courageous. And there is a reason that the Lord calls him to this. There is ground that the Lord has prepared for his people to take. Do you believe this tonight? And you know, I believe that even in this moment, that the Holy Spirit would just begin to reveal to you the ground that the Lord has already prepared ahead of time for you to take, for your family, for this church, for this city, that we are living in this specific time for a specific purpose, that it is significant that you are here, that you are serving the Lord, that there is ground that the Lord has called us to take. But I want to ask us tonight, has there ever been a time where you have taken some ground for the Lord, but perhaps the enemy has come and stolen back that ground from you? Can you recognize a time in your life, perhaps maybe even recently, where you have given up some of that ground and you have allowed the enemy to steal that victory from you in the Lord Jesus Christ? May the Lord speak to us in this area tonight. Is the Lord calling some of you to take back that ground that the enemy has stolen? When our faith in God as our commander and our leader is strong, we will be at peace. What is the ground that God has called us to take? What is the ground that he has called us to take? And for sure the Lord is calling not some of us, but every single one of us to fight for the new ground that is ahead of us. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 to 4. This passage is entitled Principles Governing Warfare. It says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle, when we are on the verge of taking that ground, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Can you praise God for that tonight? He is the Lord your God who goes with you to fight for you against every enemy to save you. And the Lord is fighting for our soul. He is fighting for our peace tonight. He is fighting for our faith, for us to be victorious in this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How many know that Jesus Christ has destroyed the works of the devil? There may be evil all around us, but Jesus Christ has already destroyed, has the authority over every supernatural power of darkness. I'm so thankful for that. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. The Lord left us peace when he ascended into heaven. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Fight the good fight of faith. If you have faith, if you have trust in the Lord, you will have peace. If your faith is weak, your peace will be weak. As you war in the Spirit, are you fighting from a position of fear or faith? Are you praying from a position of fear or faith? How do we guard our peace? How can we let peace rule while we war? I believe one of the aspects to this is let us remember the faithfulness of God. This is a whole other point and could be a whole other series, but God is so intentional when he teaches us and has written in his word about the importance of us remembering his faithfulness, because there will be times in our lives when remembering the faithfulness of God will strengthen us, will give us that courage to keep moving. His peace will guard you as you pray from a position of remembering his faithfulness. I stood on the beaches of Hawaii last week, suffering for Jesus, I know. And every time I stood and looked out over the ocean, though, I have to say that it overwhelms me every time. And you know, there was a stirring in my soul, a rejoicing in the magnificence of our Creator, an awe and a wonder at his power. And every time I gazed at his creation, there was a stirring in my soul to draw near to him. And his supernatural peace just settled over my mind and over my spirit every single time. And as I gazed upon his magnificence, isn't it true that creation testifies of the power of God and of the promises of God? And as we gaze upon creation, as we gaze upon his power and his beauty, and we remember his faithfulness, his peace will settle our minds, will settle our hearts. Another important aspect of guarding this peace in our lives is standing in the authority of Jesus Christ. Romans 16, verse 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. God is a God of peace, and he intended that we would have peace with one another, that we would have peace with him, but that we would also have peace over every circumstance and every situation in our lives as we war in the Spirit. The God of peace will crush Satan. That song is playing over in my mind right now. The God of peace will crush Satan. The God of peace will crush our worry. The God of peace will break every fear. Our supernatural peace is rooted in our faith in 1 John 4:4, that greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. When we maintain our peace in the midst of our battle and our warfare, Satan is crushed and defeated through the power of God's peace. Oppression is defeated when we hold fast to our peace. Fear is broken when we maintain our trust and our peace. You will be victorious over every fear, every worry, every anxiety when you refuse to have faith in what you see, but rather you have faith in the God of peace who crushes Satan, in the God who fights every battle for you and with you. You can react to your circumstances, or you can respond with the authority given to you by Jesus Christ and begin to speak to the storm that it would be stilled in the name of Jesus. In Matthew 8, 23 to 27 is that passage where during the storms, the disciples let worry rob them of their peace. They let their anxiousness rob them of their peace. And yet Jesus had authority over every wind and every wave. He had peace over the elements around him. He did not fight the storm. He did not fear the storm, but he faced the storm with perfect, supernatural, all-powerful peace. Your spirit will be tempted to be troubled by doubt and discouragement. And I want to ask tonight, are there any areas in your life where you do not have peace? Any relationships, any circumstances, are you tormented by a lack of peace? You can have victory at all times. It is at your disposal tonight in the name of Jesus. Victory does not always come in the form of a situation changing. How many know that? But rather, victory comes in the form of maintaining perfect supernatural peace in the war as you fight the good fight of faith. How do we obtain this peace? By submitting to the will of God, by standing on His word that is a rock, that is immovable, by warring in your spirit with worship, prayer, prophetic declarations of the word of God, by trusting and by surrendering every torment to God and receiving His peace. Be at war in your spirit and peace in your minds. Let's have the worship team return, please, at this time. When you can look at the devil and not react in fear, but be perfectly calm, knowing that God is fighting for you, then you will know that you are walking in victory. In Psalm 23, verses 4 to 5, David speaks the familiar words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." God desires that we would walk with Him in such a way that we would fear no evil. That we would fear no evil. We are surrounded by so much evil, by so much darkness, by so much rebellion, by so much pride and hardness of heart, of self-seeking and self-serving. There is so much evil that seeks to impart fear into our spirit, and it is time for us to rebuke the fear. It's time for us to rebuke the evil and to walk in peace, knowing that God has all authority over every spiritual power of darkness. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These are not empty words, but these are powerful promises. These are weapons of warfare for us. These work in the name of Jesus. Can you recognize what robs your peace? Unbelief, disappointments, and the biggest one, I believe, is a lack of trust in God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 6 to 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, for no thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Church, this is a prophetic promise for us. That if you can recognize what robs your peace, if you can pull this scripture into your spirit, into your mind, that the peace of God would break and crush every fear, every worry in the name of Jesus. You know, I'm encouraging you. Let's each one of us just do that right now. Let's just begin to pull these words and pull this scripture into our minds. Pull this scripture into your spirit right now in the name of Jesus. We want to speak to those things that are robbing God's people of peace right now in this moment. Every fear, be gone in the name of Jesus. Every worry that has a hold over you tonight, let the peace of God break it off in the name of Jesus right now. Every anxious thought, every depression, you have no room to live in the people of God tonight. And we break it off in the name of Jesus according to the authority that Jesus Christ has given to us tonight. We stand on the word of God and we present these worries and we present these fears. And we say, Jesus, take them right now in the name of Jesus. We don't want them to have a hold over our lives anymore, but we call forth the peace of God that it would begin to guard your mind, to guard your heart right now in the name of Jesus. Every enemy is subject to the name of Jesus, and so we say, every enemy be gone in the name of Jesus right now over the people of God. Listen, you are not meant to be defeated by worry. You were not meant to be defeated by anxiety. And so we war in the spirit and we receive the supernatural peace right now in the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, in the Amplified Version, it says, fight the good fight of the faith in the conflict with evil. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. Evil will have no hold over our lives. Listen, there will be nothing that will hold us back from fighting for the cause of Christ. We will be those who will arise, who will stand steadfast, immovable upon the word of God in the name of Jesus. And if you don't believe that right now, I encourage you and challenge you to begin to speak that, to begin to pray that, to just begin to say, no, I'm going to be different, and I am choosing to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And it is time to war in the spirit for the kingdom of God to be advanced, for God's people to be free. Let us position ourselves in faith as we worship. Let us position ourselves in peace as we pray. Let us fight the good fight of faith with surrender, submission, and trust. And the peace of God will guard our heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together tonight. And I wonder if we could just bow our heads together just in these final moments. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. Holy Spirit, you're the only one who can move us. You're the only one who can change us. You're the only one who can cause victory to come. And I pray tonight that we would be intentional to be at war in our spirit for the cause of Christ at all times. Holy Spirit, what is the ground that you are calling us to take? Let your cause begin to stir our spirit. Is there anything that has been robbing us of your peace? We surrender afresh to you, Lord, and we invite you to come and to just break off everything that would hold us back from the spiritual war, that would desire to hold us back from the supernatural peace in the name of Jesus. We commit to war in our spirit with an immovable faith. We commit to war right now, Jesus, in the days to come. We don't want to be left out of what you want to do. But God, right now, I pray that you would pour out afresh of your Holy Spirit as we stand and worship you tonight, oh God. I pray that you would just begin to release revelation, oh God. Begin to release a resolve within our spirits, Lord, that we would never be the same, but that we would begin to take back the ground that the enemy has stolen, that we would begin to enter into the promised land, that we would enter into the land that you have called us to in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all of the glory and we surrender afresh tonight. And I pray that in these final moments that you would stir us to respond in whatever way we need to. In your name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, let's worship and honor the Lord. If you need prayer for anything, come. We love to pray for you. But let's honor our Lord tonight.